Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Right. Now, we're going to jump straight in today, and if you came expecting to hear me preach, you are going to be sorely disappointed, because I have a friend of mine that has come with us today, and normally we do missionary windows, and we share about the missions project that they have going on, but today I felt impressed and led to call on Brother Brad Sasser, who is a missionary. I'm going to let him tell you all about his missions project. Him and his wife, Michelle, are incredible, incredible people. They've been on the field now for 5 years?
Seven years.
I'll get it right one day, man. But 7 years doing missions, and they are missionaries to the Appalachian Trail. And some of y'all may be going, well, what in the world is that? Well, I want you to welcome Brother Brad and Michelle Sasser as they come and they share with you exactly what God is doing. But he also is going to bring a word today that is going to cut your heart and is going to teach us about being in God's presence.
Thank you, Pastor.
Brother Brad, thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Allowing me to be here with you today and letting us come to just join in the service with you. It's been great. The worship, thank y'all so much. And it's good, Pastor, just to come and be with you guys. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us to be here and allowing us to be here. I want to get some of the housekeeping stuff out of the way. I'm not real good with the housekeeping stuff. So I'm going to get that out of the way and just be kind of done with it. But we are missionaries. My wife right there, wave at them. Michelle does not, she doesn't speak in front of people a whole lot because all she does is cry. And I tell her, I say, sometimes I need the tears. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's my wife, Michelle. On the Appalachian Trail, everyone has a trail name, so we're known as Shep, short for Shepherd, and No Miles on the Appalachian Trail. Because she does not, she's not a long-distance hiker. But we have prayer cards back there in the back. We'd love for you all to grab a prayer card, pray for us and pray with us as we go and do events and different things. So if you would, just grab a prayer card. I know it's going to shock you because looking at me, you're thinking, that old boy can't write a book. But I've written 2 books. And so if you enjoy anything about today or the stories today, some of the stories are in here and they have spiritual connections. It's kind of like a devotional, but it tells you a lot about what we do. And so people ask me how much those are. We just do that for a love offering. Look, somebody got $2 and a stick of gum. I'll chew the gum and she'll buy some coffee. You know, that's what we do. So, yeah, we have those books there. And if you want to be a part of our newsletter list, you can do that as well. So we are just blessed to be able to do what we do and to work on the trail. I had someone ask me this morning how we're funded. We are fully appointed Assemblies of God U.S. missionaries. And so we are the only fully appointed Assembly of God U.S. missionaries at this point to a trail system. But there are 3 other people that work on trail systems that are Assemblies of God missionaries. Right now we have Joe Lewis, who's an MA, coming up behind us that's going to work with us. Steve Lummer out in Arizona. And we have Steve Hawley up in Massachusetts. And we recruited Steve Hawley about 4 years ago and convinced him that he should quit the pastorate on Cape Cod in Massachusetts and move to the industrial town of North Adams, Massachusetts, where the Appalachian Trail goes through. Sister, don't get nervous. You know, I'm not trying to recruit folks, you know, into this trail ministry stuff. But no, so we work on the Appalachian Trail. The Appalachian Trail is 14 states, Georgia to Maine. We live in Shady Valley, Tennessee. This trail is 2,200 miles long. And just to give an idea, brother asked me earlier how many people, 19.6 million people is how many people they estimated stepped foot on the Appalachian Trail last year. That would make the Appalachian Trail equal to the country of Romania or Chile. in the number of people that set foot on the Appalachian Trail in some way. But there's about 6,000 to 7,000 a year that are what we call through hikers that try to start in Georgia and walk the whole way through to Maine. And we set up at different places, and we do things like we set up and we have a cookout, and we'll do hamburgers and hot dogs and fresh fruit. And when you've been living in the woods eating dehydrated ramen noodles and stuff like that for 2 or 3 weeks, and you come up on somebody that's grilling a hamburger, you know what I'm saying? We have people come out of the woods crying, tears, and they said we smelt the food coming down the mountain. Amen. You can be an atheist or whatever, but you want to stop and get you a hamburger. So we have people, they come from all over the world, that 19.6 million people. We have a little bit of everything on the trail. We have kids ministry. We have kids. We have families. We have military folks, retired military folks. We have people who come from other countries. We have people from all over the United States, all around the globe. So this ministry really encompasses a whole lot of stuff in there. Sometimes we're talking to military guys that are retired, that are dealing with some PTSD. I told Brother Steve, the first person that ever hiked the Appalachian Trail after World War II, he hiked to walk off the war. That's what he said he was doing, walking off the war. That's before they knew about PTSD. He said, I want to go in the woods and try to figure out peace. A lot of people are trying to go in the woods to figure out hope and to figure out peace. And we know where true hope and peace comes from. And so we have to share that with folks. Amen? And we appreciate y'all because y'all help us do it. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about the Appalachian Trail. We work on the Florida Trail as well in the wintertime. I wanted to tell you a little bit about it, but the best way that I can do is really to show you. Right? Because sometimes I tell people and they can't understand it. So I want to show you what we do, and we have a little video.
Sasser, and I was wanted to come to you and just give you a glimpse of what trail ministry looks like. We have people ask all the time, what does it look like to minister to hikers on the Appalachian Trail? Well, this past weekend, May 16th through the 19th, I led a group of students, young adults from Phoenix City First and from SEU, Southeastern University, to do trail ministry work
during the Trail Days Festival. We wanted to give you guys a glimpse of what the hiking culture looks like, a glimpse of what it is to minister to hikers. We hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
ministry. And they were all behaving in that video, okay? That is them on their best behavior. And so that is the stuff we could show in church. But we are blessed to be able to minister to this diverse group of people from all over the world that the Lord gives us an opportunity to get out there and work with. At this particular Trail Days, we saw four people baptized there in the river in Damascus, Virginia. I remember 7 years ago the first time Michelle and I went to Trail Days in Damascus, Virginia, and we stood at that river, and I thought, Lord, it'd be wonderful to baptize somebody in this river one day. And since then, last year we saw 9 people saved and 8 baptized on the Appalachian Trail. Amen. Yeah, give God glory for that. Because let me tell you, 9 and 8 may not seem like a huge number, but on the Appalachian Trail, that's Brownsville right there. That's what that is. Because the people that we deal with, they're very postmodern. They do not trust church. They don't trust church folks. Most of them would not come into church just like this unless I bribed them or drug them. And I did bribe and drag a few in Franklin, North Carolina a couple weeks ago. Amen. But we were blessed. We had 5 of them come to church. Last year in Cascade Locks in Oregon, we went out to the PCT. We fed 535 hikers breakfast on Friday morning, and 60 of them came to church with us on Sunday morning. We tripled the attendance of Cascade Locks Bible Church that Sunday morning with hikers. And I guarantee you some of these hikers had never set foot in a church. Amen. But we are just blessed that the Lord allows us to be out there and to do what we do. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Judges chapter 6. You know, as I was praying the last couple years, we've been doing this missionary thing for a while. And there are certain ways that missionaries, they kind of train you to do when you come and you speak at a church. And you wonder why a lot of the missionaries, you know, they kind of got that same pattern with their stories and stuff. Like, we train that, right? We do that. But as I was praying, and I was asking the Lord what he would have me do, the Lord really impressed on my heart. He says, Brad, you share stories when you go places, but you need to bring a word for the house. You need to believe. It is not, don't just go to a church and share some stories and ask for some money and leave, because that's what happens a lot of times. The Lord really impressed on my heart that when you go to a church, you pray about the word God has for that morning. You bring the word. Now, you can mix some missionary stories in there, but bring a word to the people of God. And I've been praying, and I believe God has a word for us this morning. I appreciate Pastor having faith to allow us to come and then just saying, hey, we just want you to come and preach too. Because this is the way that the Lord has impressed upon me when somebody gives me the service. I feel like it is my responsibility to bring a word from the Lord. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on a sermon that I have entitled, very simply, When Heaven Changes the Odds. When Heaven Changes the Odds. And this comes from the story of Gideon this morning. And I'm going to read here just a few verses in Judges 6 and 7, and then we're going to pray. In Judges 6 and 3, it says this, And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. Now verse 34, But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Then I'm going to flip over in verse 7. Starting in verse 3, chapter 7, starting in verse 3. Now therefore go proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said to Gideon, The people are too many yet. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them there for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee, and whosoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself, likewise everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but the rest of the people bowed their knees to drink water. And then finally, chapter 7, verse 22, And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled. I want to ask you this morning, is there anybody in here, maybe you, I don't know what anybody's going through, first off, I want to tell you. Pastor Aaron has not told me one thing about really anybody that's dealing with much of anything this morning. But I do know that there's probably some of us, because I just know people, there's probably some of us in this house that need God to move in the things that we're dealing with. There's some of us in this house that need heaven to change the odds this morning. Amen? Right here we're fixing to pray, but I want you, if you say, I need heaven to change the odds this morning, just slip your hand up right now. Slip your hand up. Father, we come right now, and we thank you for this time in your house. Lord, we thank you for a word from God. Lord, we thank you for a faithful pastor and pastor's wife. Lord, we thank you for a congregation that gathers on Sunday morning to hear your word. Lord, be with us now. Bless this time that we have together. Lord, we need a touch from heaven. We need you to change the situation, Lord. We need you to change the odds, but Lord, we are standing here today in faith, knowing that you very well will and can. Lord, we pray your will be done and your spirit would be free. Lord, help me now to preach this word that you've given me in these next few moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when I read here in Judges 6 and 3, and it says that so it was when Israel had sown, I tell you what, the enemy is always trying to mess up the harvest. He's always trying to mess up the harvest. He's always, you're here in this house, you're here in Anniston, and there's a harvest outside these doors, and the enemy will do everything he can to stop this church from going forward, to stop the harvest from going forward, to stop those that are working in the harvest from getting out and working. He'll do anything he can to come against us. My brother, I have a brother that comes up, and my brother helps me with stuff up in Tennessee. We've got a place up in Shady Valley between Bristol and Boone, North Carolina, Bristol, Tennessee. Shady Valley is where the Hiker Ministry Center is, where the work trip's coming. My brother comes up to work for me, but he does work with me. He tells me, he says, I hate doing anything for you. I said, why? He said, because I'll drive my truck for 3 years, and I'll drive it 10, 15, 20, 30,000 miles, and it'll never have a problem. But every time he tries to come to the, he's like, he called me one time, he said, my brakes are on fire. He called me another time. He said, I pulled off on the side of the road in Atlanta. He said, I don't even like to do anything with you, because the devil don't like it when people try to do anything with you, and they'll try to hinder me in any way. He said, I am tired. He said, every time I leave the house, I'm just praying when I'm trying to come to Shady Valley to help you. Lord, help me through whatever is going to happen, because something's going to happen. I don't give the devil a bunch of credit, because we always make it through, amen, but he does try to hinder sometimes. I don't believe there's a devil under every rock, but there's one under some of them. But I know that the enemy is always against the harvest. And it says here that the Midianites came. The Amalekites came. And then it says, and the children of the east. The Midianites came, the Amalekites came, and everybody else came. I don't know about y'all, but I have had days when I felt like things were stacking up. Some days you just feel like, Lord, if one more thing happens this day. The Midianites came, the Amalekites came, and everybody else in the east came. They had everybody against them. It was stacking up, stacking up, stacking up. The Israelites were hiding, they were broke, and they were broken. I mean, can I talk to real folk today? Real people in this house. Look, we deal with stuff. Sometimes we try to come to church and pretend like we don't deal with stuff, but I know we deal with stuff. I know I deal with stuff. Sometimes I try to come to church and pretend like I don't deal with stuff, but I deal with stuff. Pastors are not immune to dealing with stuff. Preachers' families are not immune to dealing with stuff. And sometimes as pastors, when preachers, we'll put ourselves up on this podium like, you know what, we do deal with some stuff. But I'm thankful that every time I got to deal with stuff, I got somebody I can depend on, amen? I am thankful that there is a God and he sits on the throne, and not one bird is flying that falls from a tree that he does not see or know what's going on, amen? He considers the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and he considers me, and I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for that this morning. Look, real folks going through real stuff. Everyone in this room knows what it feels like when the odds are against us. Look, I've had the odds against me most of my life. Y'all don't know my testimony. My dad left when I was 3 years old, the day before my brother was born. I didn't see him again until I was 25, after Michelle and I got married. My mom raised me as a single parent, me and my brother, for about 13 years. I've seen the car get repossessed. I went to school with no money. I still feel like the best cheese that you'll ever eat in your life is government cheese. Come on. That's the best cheese. I don't care what anybody says. They don't make Velveeta as good as they used to make that government cheese that came in that single brown little paper thing there. Look, I remember when the government commodities came out. Look, I remember this. I have been through some stuff. So don't look and say, well, how does that guy know about going through some stuff? I've been through some stuff. And I remember when we was going through that, my grandmama used to look at me and say, now, buddy, this ain't even that bad. Because my grandmama remembered the Great Depression. And I remember my whole life she would not eat a black-eyed pea. Because she said, I ate so many dry black-eyed peas in the Great Depression. She said, I refuse to ever eat another black-eyed pea. And so we're sitting over there. We think we got it bad. I'm crying because I'm over here. I don't have the good cereal and I've got the best government cheese that there ever was. My grandmama's telling me it can get way worse. Hey, but I'm telling you what. Even though we have had some stuff stack up against us, God is good. Amen. God has always been good. I'm here to tell you, God is a restorer and a redeemer of things that are broken. And this ain't in my notes, so I just think he's a restorer and a redeemer. My father lives 7 miles off the Florida Trail in Lake City. The Lord has restored our relationship. I texted him the other day. I said, I love you, Dad. He texted me back. He said, I love you, son. I got a half-brother and a half-sister I didn't know for most of my life. I love them. We're in a group together, like a little text group. We text all the time. We want our kids. My kids are older than their kids, but my brother says, I just want our kids to grow up together like we didn't grow up together. But God is a redeemer and a restorer, and I'm thankful for that this morning. Look, I'm telling you, even though the enemy comes against us, even though the odds are against us, even though sometimes we don't know how we're going to make it, if we trust the Lord, I guarantee you we're going to make it. Amen. If gas goes to $5, $56, $7 a gallon, I'm going to keep riding up and down the road and doing what God has called me to do. Why? Because God is going to make a way and provide. He always does. Amen. I tell the Lord, I tell the Lord, I pray and I say, Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Might need you to sell a couple of them. Beef is high, Lord. Sell a couple of them and make it happen for us. Look, even though the doctor says one thing and the diagnosis says another, even though the bank account says one thing and the bills say another, I'm here to tell you this morning that heaven is not intimidated by bad odds. God is not intimidated by bad odds. Gideon had some real bad odds in this story right here. It was stacking up against them. Just the children of Israel against the Midianites is bad odds. Against the Amalekites is bad odds. Against everybody else from the east is bad odds. You put them all together and it's horrible odds. But if God's on your side, you got good odds. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, if God is on our side, even if there's more month than money, if God's on my side. Even if I don't get the report I want from the doctor, if God is on my side. Even if my kids are going crazy and life is topsy-turvy, if God is on my side. When we were in that little camper up there in the mountains and we didn't have power and water for 3 months because nobody would come hook it up, and all we had was a bucket and a Cabela's tent for a bathroom, and we were showering under a waterfall. But if God is on your side, amen, if God is on your side, you have good odds. If God is on your side, you got the majority. I'm here to tell you that even though 1,000 may fall and 10,000 at my right hand, look, if God is on my side, I am the head and not the tail. I am the first and not the last, amen. No weapon formed against me shall prosper if God is on my side. And I'm thankful that he is. Yes, give him praise this morning. If God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. I love the story from 1 Samuel 14:6, the story of Jonathan. I quote this a lot of time in trail ministry. We'll have no idea what we're doing, and I say, let's just go throw ourselves in amongst them and see what happens. You know, that's a bad plan. A lot of times, Pastor, people come up to work with us, and they're like, what's the itinerary? I said, I get you an itinerary, but now this is trail missions. That itinerary is not as good as the paper is written on, really. Because it may rain one day. We may have to swap something. We're liable to get out there and somebody come up with a broke leg. Now we got to take somebody to the hospital. Now we're praying over somebody at the trailhead. There's a bone sticking out. Somebody comes up. They've been hiking with a dog. Dog broke its leg. Now we got to take the dog to the vet. You know, you just never know. You just never know. We just throw ourselves in amongst them. I like that Hayden, Alabama podcast. I don't know if any of y'all listen to that, those old guys that tell stories. And that one old dude, he says, I don't know how much good we did, but at least we didn't do any damage. That's our motto in trail ministry now. I don't know how much good we did, but I don't think we did any damage. Me and my buddy Joe that's working in trail ministry with us, we thought about having that put on a shirt. I don't know how much good we did, but I don't think we did any damage. But 1 Samuel 14:6, I love it when Jonathan looks over there and he's got his armor bearer and he says, we're just going to throw ourselves in amongst them. He said, my God can save by many or he can save by few. Look, God can deliver us when there's good odds and he can deliver us when there's bad odds. He can deliver us when things are going well and he can deliver us when everything is falling apart. That's why when the Philistines, you know, the Philistines used to try to drag the Israelites down into the valley because they thought, well, their God is the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. And then they found out real quick their God is the God of the hills and the God of the valleys. The God of the good times. Come on, that old song, the God of the good times, he's still God in the bad times. Amen. He can make a way when there seems to be no way. I'm thankful for that this morning. Amen. Amen. Just me and God. I like those odds. I heard Brother Vaughn Lambert preach a sermon one time called One Plus God. He said, that's all you need. One plus God. Amen. That's good odds. In verse 34 says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Now look, I didn't grow up Pentecostal. I grew up Southern Baptist. I married a Pentecostal girl. She'll tell you real quick, she was telling somebody out there this morning, she wasn't even trying to marry. Michelle broke up with a guy one time who said he was called to be a missionary. She was a pastor's daughter. She didn't want to be in. She found her about a half backslidden little Baptist boy. That's what she found. She looked at me and she said, he'll do because he ain't going to be in ministry. I know that. And he's not trending real good. If I can get him in church, I think he'll do. And she invited me to church on a Sunday night. I'd never been to a Pentecostal church before. I know anything about it. Brother David Copeland, y'all know him, he was preaching on a Sunday night. And I mean, this is one of them little Pentecostal churches at Blue Springs, Alabama. You can't even get there from here. It's a long way. You can't get there with a map or a GPS. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. And I didn't know how dangerous a place it was for a half backslidden little Baptist boy to be on the second row of a Pentecostal revival on a Sunday night. But that's a dangerous place. But I'm telling you, what's crazy to me is that the little Baptist boy has become the Pentecostal flag waver. I mean, we got to get to the place where we are who we say we are. We need to be who we are. Amen. I'm telling you, I believe in the power of God, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit active in our lives. I believe we still need it. We still need it in our churches. We still need it in our families. We still need it in Sunday school classes, in children's church, in youth groups. When we were youth pastors, you know, brother, I was the worst youth pastor ever. You might remember me. I did everything wrong because I didn't know how to do it. I wasn't like it. My son is a youth intern. He's learning how to do it right. I did it wrong. We'd be in there, and I took all the chairs away from the youth because they wouldn't stand up for worship. So I said, that's fine. We'll take the chairs away. And we just took the chairs away. They stood up for worship, then they sat on the floor. And I told them, I said, y'all already in the altar. Everybody's in the altar. You're sitting in the altar. This is the altar, right? So we just got in there. But you know what? Those kids, a lot of those kids are grown now, and they still remember me like I remember. It was the greatest thing ever when you took the chairs. They just remember that when the chairs went away. I've had people from other grown people that were friends with people in my youth group, and I'm like, yeah, I'm Pastor Brad. And they said, oh, you're the guy that took the chairs away that time. I said, yeah, my reputation precedes me. But we got rid of the chairs, and we got in there, and we got serious with God. One night I had two kids come in from outside, and they had grass all over their hair. I said, what have y'all been doing? I thought they'd been wrestling. One of them had went outside dealing with stuff. The other went out there praying for them, and the Holy Spirit hit them both. And one of them got filled with the Holy Ghost. They were both laid out in the grass out there. I said, it's almost church time to be over. There's parents out there. Parents pulling up. I got two out there slain in the spirit in the yard. I don't even know they're outside because we prayed on the inside, you know. I'm just like, Amen. But look, people ask me, they say, what's a Baptist? I said, well, that's a Baptist chassis with a Pentecostal motor dropped in it. That's what that is. You know? That's me. That's who I am. But I just believe in the power of God. And I know that we can rely on the Comforter, and the Holy Ghost changes the odds when He comes on the scene. And that's why we need Him. That's why I need a touch from on high. Because in my own strength and power, I can't walk amongst those people. In my own strength and power, I can't do it, but God can do it. Amen? There's 16 groups to get together at Trail Days. Religious groups. Baptist, Methodist, Assembly of God. There's two Assembly of God groups. Us and the girl that was in the video, her name is Mel. She's a young adults pastor from Suncoast down in Tampa, Florida. That's an Assembly of God church in Florida. We're the only two. Last year I was on a call with the missions team. And they said, well, we got some people. One of the guys said, we got some people on our team that were thinking about wanting to go down there in the Tent City area. Because, see, they all get in these woods, and they have Tent City in these woods. They build little communities in these woods. And they get on drugs, and they drink, and they go crazy in these woods. And the lady says, well, I think there's two groups that operate down there in Tent City. Brad's group and Mel's group. And I told Michelle later, I said, you know what? I don't think it hit anybody on that call. But basically what they said was, if you want to go down there, you get with the Pentecostals. Because the rest of us don't go down there. So you know what? The Holy Ghost makes a difference. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness that we didn't have. The Holy Spirit gives us unction that we didn't have. The Holy Spirit gives us courage that we didn't have. The Holy Spirit gives us words that we didn't have. The Holy Spirit gives us love that we didn't have to wash feet and to pray for people. The Holy Spirit is the difference maker, and we still need it in our lives, in our families, in our churches. And I will wave the Pentecostal flag everywhere I go. I am not ashamed of the gospel, and I'm also not ashamed to be a Spirit-filled believer. Amen. And I'm not ashamed to tell people we need more Spirit-filled believers. I just don't give the hikers an option. One of them said one time, says, Shep, you ever seen that thing of people speaking to? I said, yeah, that's us. He said, oh, that's us. I said, he got saved. I said, yeah, that's us. He said, oh, okay. They just... Some of them don't know enough. They don't know enough to be scared. They never been to church too much. I said, yeah, that's us, man. I said, this is what you do. This is, we're going to be seeking for this, you know. But I just don't give them an option, you know. I just graft them in. A lot of them really don't go to church anywhere, never been to church anywhere. So I just pull them out. I said, yeah, that's us, man. We Pentecostals. Had a guy this past week. I was riding down the road with him, a hiker. And he said, Shep, he's not a believer. He said, I really feel like we're all kind of got a little God in us. I said, if you know Jesus, that's correct. And I started explaining to him about how the Holy Spirit infills the life of a person in belief, and then how there's more for somebody. And so we just had this whole talk about these things. Amen. I'm telling you, I just want to give you some stats real quick. I'm just this is kind of an aside, but on the Holy Spirit and why I say that we got to get back to being people of spirit-filled people. In the 1970s, if you went to a Pentecostal church, one in two people, 50%, were filled with the Spirit. In the 1990s, one in four. In the early 2000s, mid 2010s, one in seven. Today, if you're in a church that was planted less than 20 years ago, one in 27. I'm not trying to shame any. Look, if you're here in this place and you say, well, I'm not spirit, that's fine. Look, hey, the best thing we can do is recognize what we need and that we can get it. Amen. It ain't bad to say I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, but you can get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Look, you can seek. Look, I had to seek for a minute because remember, I was a little Baptist boy, and I didn't know. I had the devil lying to me all the time. I had a lot of questions, and I didn't have everybody in the world. Brother Vaudy Lambert had prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit twice, and it didn't happen. If Brother Vaudy Lambert prayed for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost, you should give up and go home, because it ain't going to happen. I thought, I just need to go back to the Baptist church, because this was the man, they told me, and I went down there. He prayed for me, but you know what? I kept on seeking. I kept on seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And one day, I was at the house all by myself, just brushing my teeth in the bathroom, just praying, and boom, I was filled with the Spirit right there in my bathroom at the house. Amen. God still touches. He still feels. Amen. So if you're here, I'm just telling you, it's important. It's important to what we do. It's important to what you do. It's important to what Gideon was about to do. Gideon could not do it in his own strength. He admittedly was not the man for the job, he thought. If you go through here and look in chapter 6, over and over and over and over again, Gideon is making excuses why he can't do it, making excuses why he can't do it, making excuses why he can't do it, and then God steps in and changes the odds. The Holy Spirit is an odd changer. Last year, I'll tell you this story. Last year, the team that came from Alabama Men's Ministries, there was about 7 folks, and we built 2 porches. This year, we're going to build off of the side of our, we're going to build a seating area and a food, kind of an eating spot, a pavilion so people can eat under, that's going to come off of our pole barn. And we may also build, if we have time, we're going to build another little storage area. Everything we got, we build it like Johnny Cash, right? We got it like Johnny Cash got it, one piece at a time. That's how we got it, like he got that Cadillac. So we get it, we build everything one piece at a time. That's how we've done it. But we got there last year, they came, they helped us build. They build onto the stuff. We built a porch on the bunkhouse. We built some porches on our other buildings. It was great. But I took the pastors out, and we went out to the Trail Days area because we're just a week before Trail Days happens when this trip happens. And in the woods there, you can walk around in these woods where all these people are going to be camped. That area that you saw in the video with all the tents, you can walk through all that, and it's wide open, and nobody's there the week before. So I said, we fix to go prayer walk this area. And I know specifically where specific groups camp every year that are rough. And this one group is called Riff Raff. They're like a fraternity. They got their trail names on the back of their shirt. They got pirate skull and crossbones on the front of their shirt. We've never made any inroads with the Riff Raff group. They're hard to get to know. You don't even go over to their area of the woods if you don't belong over there. They'll run you out. So I took the pastors over there, and I said, this is the riffraff group spot right here. I said, we fixing to pray over this spot. And I said, I want y'all to pray, and I don't mean pray like pray over your food. I mean, we going to pray. And I told Michelle, I said, the Lord impressed upon me to share a story about when he taught me how to pray like I needed to pray. And I'm going to share this story this morning, and it's not really a mission story, and I don't share it everywhere I go, but the Lord impressed on me to share this because I believe somebody needs to hear this story. This is how, when God really taught me about prayer. Our son is 19 years old. He's an intern at Connect Church. He goes to Southeastern through an extension site. So he's a junior. He's almost a junior at Southeastern. He's 19 years old. 19 years ago, when we went to find out, because back then, you know, at week 20, it's 20 weeks. Now you can get a blood test. You can find out if it's a boy or a girl. Like, as soon as you know you're pregnant, you already know it's a boy or a girl now. Back then, you had to go about 20 weeks. So 20 weeks, we go to the hospital. We see Lane, they say he's a boy, we see him on the video screen. I go outside, they called Michelle back. I didn't realize that was bad. The doctor sits her down, and he says, we've seen some stuff on this ultrasound. We think that your baby has trisomy 18, which is Edwards syndrome, and that he won't live if he's 3 to 6 months. The OBGYN, Michelle remembers, tried to get us to have an abortion. She said, you could go ahead. We can do some tests to confirm this. You can have an abortion. Michelle said, it don't matter. She said, it don't matter what the deal is. We're going to have a baby. She said, we don't believe in it, so we're not going to have an abortion. Well, they went ahead and they said, we're going to send you to UAB, and y'all going to go to UAB next week. And we're going to let UAB, they'll be able to confirm or deny or whatever what we see. So that week, between that doctor's appointment in Dothan, and that doctor's appointment at UAB, God taught me how to pray. I'm talking about pray. Pray like, because life did depend on it. Pray. I remember we were sitting there at the hotel because they put everybody that was going to UAB for appointments in a hotel. You can get in the cheaper hotel, and they send the bus by. And the bus will pick you up, and you get on there with, and it's rough. You know, you get on there with everybody's quiet in the morning. Everybody's on this bus because everybody's got stuff going on. You know, if you're going to UAB, you ain't there for a birthday party. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's on the bus. But at the hotel, before we got on the bus, Michelle was in there. She was drying her hair. I remember this. And the devil, I was trying to pray, and the devil had just been in my ear. this is going to go bad. This ain't going to go good. You're fixing to have a rough day. It's going to be disappointment. The devil's just, and you know what I did? I went over there. Michelle was drying her hair. I remember she put the blow dryer down. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm tired of the devil. I'm tired of the devil talking to me." I said, I just decided I'm fixing to remind him of something. I had flipped to Revelation, and I was out loud reading in the Bible in Revelation where it said that he was going to be chained and thrown into the lake of fire. I said, he keeps trying to bring up what the next few hours is going to be for me, but I know what his future is going to be, and I'm just reading it. I'm reading it out loud to him. And you know what? The devil left me alone after that. I didn't feel bad. I felt better after that, but I just went in there and started reading out loud. You're going to be chained. You're going to be tossed in the lake of fire. Buddy, you are defeated. We are victorious. In the end of this, I don't care what happens in the next hour, in the next day or two, I still am victorious because I walk with the Lord. Amen. We went in there to that appointment. They did the scan. And this was before 4D, but they had a good scan, you know, UAB. I mean, it was good. And a little picture come out of the thing. And the guy was sitting there on a stool. And I mean, we're standing there just like holding our breath. And the guy would look at the picture from UAB. You look at the scan at Dothan. You'd look at the UAB picture. You look at the scan at Dothan. And he finally said, "I see what they saw in Dothan. But it ain't here now." Amen. He said, "I see what they saw, but what they saw is not here now." He said, "Now sometimes this happens." He started trying to explain stuff. "Sometimes this can happen, that can happen." I said, "Doctor, you ain't got to explain nothing. I'm not upset with anybody. I'm not mad that I had to come here. I'm not worried about your skin being wrong or something." I said, "I'm telling you, I serve the living God. I serve a God that is on the throne. I serve a God that can deliver, that can heal. I serve a God that can change the makeup in the womb in a week's time. He can do it in an instant. I serve a God that changes the odds." Amen. And then the Lord told me after that, he said, "Brad, you see how you prayed this week? Pray like that for everybody else for the rest of the time." He said, "Now you know how to pray for the rest of your life in ministry. Pray like that. People bring you needs, pray like that." Amen. Just believe like that for the rest of the time. So when we went out there to pray that day over that area, I told him, I said, "This is how you got to pray. Pray like this." I love Pastor Sunil over at Hope Church in Muscle Shoals. I'm going to tell you, Pastor Sunil, he's about like me. Me and Pastor Sunil, if you see us with a nail gun and a saw, you need to get away from us. But we might not be the best nail gun and saw people. I'm going to tell you, everybody got their own talents. Pastor Sunil got out there walking around praying. I'm like, "There you go, Pastor Sunil. You have found your spot out here." You know what I'm saying? Like you've done some different things on the team and you've helped us some, but this is where you shine, you know. We're out there, we're praying, we're walking over this area where all these riffraff people set up and do drugs and set up their rave, and they get black plastic and hang it up in the tents and make a big rave area and everything. We out there walking around and we're praying over this. And that next week at Trail Days, we set up our tents, we got our foot washing station. One of the first guys that came up to the foot washing station had on a riffraff shirt. And I was looking over there thinking, "Lord, could it be?" Joe Lewis that's working with me, Joe's over there sitting in front of him. We put somebody in front of every person that comes. That person's going to be with them. He's going to help with their feet. They're going to talk to them for about 5 or 10 minutes. You got them because they're doing their feet. Convoy of Hope gives us socks that we give away to them. And that's one of the reasons they come to get their feet washed, right? Because they want the socks. They want free socks. But Joe's washing his feet there with him and stuff. And then I look over there in a minute and Joe is praying with him. And I thought, could it be? And sure enough, Joe comes walking over with him and says, "Pastor Brad, I want to introduce you to this fellow. Says he just gave his life to Jesus." Amen. Just gave his life to Jesus. I believe, I told Brother David Strahan, I said, I believe that the only reason was because of prayer. That's the reason, because we went over there and we prayed over that spot. I said, we have never made a good contact with that group. We've never had a good inroad with that group. But look, it gets better than this. Michelle don't even know about this one. I heard this past week that one of the group leaders may want somewhere to stay for a couple days. And I told him he could come by and stay with us for a couple nights. Amen. Hey, I think Riff Raff needs a chaplain. That's what they need. I want to be the official chaplain of Riff Raff. That's what I believe the Lord's setting that up. Amen. Come on, because that does not seem likely to happen, but I'm here to tell you that things that do not seem likely to happen, happen when God gets in the mix, amen? When we put our trust in Him, when we put our hope in Him, we are victorious, amen? I'm telling you, when God steps in seven and seven, we see that God took the numbers. He had 32,000 men. God took away all but 300 men. Because when God steps in, the numbers don't matter. I remember when Jesus looked out at that crowd of folks, 5,000 men plus women and children. He said, we're fixing to feed them. First disciple up, failed. He said, 200 days wages won't feed all these people. See, that's where we get caught up thinking like that too much. We get caught up thinking like that too much. Then the little disciple comes up and he says, hey, I got this kid here. He got a couple loaves and some fish. He got a kid snack. He got a two-piece snack from Captain D's. That's what he's got. What's that going to do? And then Jesus steps in and he changes all the odds. He still does it. Numbers don't matter. Hey, I'm going to tell you real quick. I know we're going to have to go. How we got our bunkhouse. We've been dreaming. I was looking at some pictures last night of back when the first Southeastern group come, and all we had was an empty lot full of trash because a house burned down on our lot that we had. Number one, the fact that we got our lot is just the Lord. Because if you know anything about the mountains, it's all up and down, all this stuff, and no cell phone service. We were homeschooling kids. I had a wish list. I said, I want a lot that's flat that you can pull into, no up or down. I said, I'd love to have a water feature, a stream. Y'all heard the stream behind me in the video. I said, I'd love to have a water feature. It'd be nice if it already had a septic tank, because septic tanks up there is three times more expensive to put in because you're dealing with a lot of rock. It'd be nice if it had a septic tank. Man, if we could have a good internet because we're homeschooling the kids. And the realtor looked at me, she said, so you want me to find for what little bit of money you got? Because all the money I had was my COVID money. You know what I'm saying? Look, you want to know where my COVID? We weren't sure today. We thought they're going to want all this COVID money back. So we just been putting in an account. All we had was just our little bit of COVID money. So I said, for my little bit of COVID money, what I want you to do is find me a flat lot with a water feature, with a septic tank, that is close to the Appalachian Trail and that has internet service. And she looked at me and she said, that ain't going to happen. She started trying to show us some stuff. She was all over the place. And I said, no, this ain't going to work. Finally, one day, she looked at me. She said, I know the guy that's got what you need. And God did it. Amen. Long story, but God did it. Amen. I'm tell you what, God did it whenever Hurricane Helene come through there. We had looked in Damascus. We had looked in all the places. We had looked in Irwin. We had looked in Damascus. We had looked all through these different places. Irwin got flooded. Damascus got flooded. All those places got flooded. But you know where it didn't flood? Shady Valley. We had enough drop on our mountain that our stream did not flood. A hiker had left a canned drink, an empty canned drink, sitting on a picnic table. And that hurricane come through there, and the drink didn't blow off the picnic table. Amen? Because God already knew where to put us a long time. I was tribulating over it and worrying about it for months and months and months, and God already had the place to put us. See, some of you may be in here today and you've been tribulating over some stuff and worrying about it, and just you got to give it to God and say, God, handle it, because you know what to do. You know where to put me. You know what hospital to send me to. You know what bank I need to go to. You know who I need to talk to. You know how it needs to work out. Amen. But then we wanted a bunkhouse. We wanted a bunkhouse. I said, we're going to build this bunkhouse. Well, back in 2022, 23, the price of lumber is just going crazy. And, you know, everybody got negative people in their life. Everybody's got negative people in their life. I got a lot of negative people. I don't know why the Lord believes I need to get tested with so many negative people in my life. I'm talking about my family and stuff. I'm not talking about church folks. I'm talking about my family. You know, everybody, well, Brad, if you're going to build that, it's going to cost $30,000. You know, if you're going to build a bunkhouse that size, it's going to cost you $20,000, $30,000. I told him finally, I said, I believe if God hung the stars in the sky and he tells the tides when to come and where to go and that galaxies drip from his fingertips, that he can handle the price of a 2x4 in 2022. I said, I believe it. So one day Michelle wanted to go to town. So we go to Boone. And on the way to Boone, we passed a couple of antique shops. And she said, I want to stop there on the way back. I said, okay. I made a mental note. Do not stop there on the way back because it's going to cost you money if you stop on the way back. So on the way back, We coming down through there, Michelle is asleep. So I'm thinking, I'm fixing to slip by these antique spots, and she's sleeping. I'm driving, my phone rings. I had some service, so I need to take the call, so I pulled in the antique spot, answered the phone. Michelle looked at me when I hung up. She said, "You pulled in here for me, you remember?" I said, I did. I remembered you wanted to stop here. And I said, "I'm finna lose money." So anyway, we go inside. Well, I immediately see these old barn doors in the back. I go back. I'm asking the guy about the old barn doors. He said, "You like old wood? I got a bunch more out here." So we go out. We're looking at this old wood. Long story short, he sells me all that wood for $100. I'm talking about, it's amazing. Michelle comes out. She's got a little $15 trinket. And she's like, "I'm sorry I spent money." I was like, "I just spent $100 on some wood over here." But the old guy, when I went to get the wood, he tells me, "Hey, you got a bunkhouse, you said, right?" And I said, "No, I want a bunkhouse. Just believe in the Lord for one." He said, "Well, I'm tearing down a building over in Hampton." He said, "What size you need?" I said, "About a 16 by 20. He said, "This is a 20 by 20 building." I said, "How much you need for it?" He said, "I'll take $750. Wow. My brother and I went and helped him tear the building down. I had to make him take $500 for the building. And a church from Huntsville, from Decatur, a Church of God from Decatur, Alabama, came up, and they helped me throw that thing up. We threw it up in one day, 24 hours, we threw that bunkhouse up. Amen. Because numbers don't matter when it's the Lord. Numbers don't matter. The odds don't matter when God's in it. Amen. And Pastor, you can come. We're fixing to close this thing down. But I'm going to tell you what. A lot of times we fail to see what God is doing because we keep saying, "I'll manage." My grandma used to say that. People ask her how she's doing. She said, "I'm managing." See, when we're managing, it's not a miracle. It's a miracle when we get past the point of we can manage. Some of us need to realize, you may feel like that this morning. You may feel like, "I'm past the point of being able to manage this. It's been stacking up. The odds aren't great. I'm past the point of being able to manage this. I'm at my breaking point." I'm here to tell you, God will let it get to the point of impossible, because there only He gets the credit. In the last verse, 22, we see how God moves miraculously. Them 300 people don't even have to fight, because the enemies just fight each other. You see, some of you are wore slap out this morning because you've been fighting your battles in your own strength and power. And you need to step aside and let heaven change the odds this morning. You need to step aside. We're fixing to have prayer at this altar right here. And I'm telling you, I believe God can change the odds. I believe God can work a miracle in your life, in your family, in your kids' lives. I've seen God do it over and over again. I'm not even surprised when He doesn't anymore. I just smile. I say, "God, you still amaze me." I never want to get over being amazed by God. Y'all stand with me in this house this morning. If you're able to stand with me. I appreciate y'all. There's a lot more stories that we could tell. I'll talk to you after it's over about bears or anything you want to talk about. But I'm thankful for a house that'll say, "You know what? We'll let you come just minister and give a word to." Amen. And I believe that God has laid some things on this old boy's heart this morning, because there were some folks in the innocent that need to hear it today. We're fixing to open this altar up. Y'all come pray with us. We want to pray with you. We want to believe with you. We want to believe that God is going to change some odds in this house this morning. That He's going to change some situations. That He's going to change some health situations. He might be changing some financial situations. He might change some situations with your kids and your grandkids. But I believe God's going to do it. He will do it in this house this morning. Father, we come right now. And Lord, we thank you so much for this time in your house. And Lord, I thank you that heaven can change the odds. Lord, I thank you that you can do it when there seems like no way that it can be done. Lord, I thank you when we come to the end of ourselves, we're at the beginning of you. Lord, I thank you that when we can't manage, that you can manage, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, change the odds in this house this morning. Change the odds in this house this morning, Lord. Change the odds in this place. Holy Spirit, God, move in this place, Lord. Lord, you're here, you say, I need heaven to change some odds, I want you to come. One, two, three. Y'all come right now. Come right now. You say, I need God to move on the situation.
The glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Oh,
Your glory, God, is what our hearts look for. To be overcome by your presence. and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord.
Come on, sing that with us.
Heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why. Oh,
just the voices
of the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will
for a few minutes, just be respectful of God and what he's doing in this place. We don't want to rush through this. If you have a need, now is the time to step into the waters. Now is the time to come to the altar and say, Lord, I just need more of you. Lord Jesus, pour your spirit out.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. www.thewbelongpodcast.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.